We've been studying in the book of Hebrews, and in our study of the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find the children of Israel traveling from Egypt to the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. And last Sunday, we mentioned the fact that when they crossed the Red Sea, they began with faith. But something happened from the Red Sea until they got to the city of Jericho. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, there is no mention of any acts of faith between the Red Sea and until the day the city of Jericho fell. What that simply is telling us is this, that the adults, primarily, because they were the ones who were accountable, made shipwreck of the faith. They departed from the living God. It's interesting to note here in Hebrews chapter 3 when it says that in verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The word unbelief is the word no faith. This week I have been a bit burdened about the significance of faith. The children of Israel made shipwreck of the faith. They departed from the faith. Did they lose their salvation? No, they did not lose their salvation. But departing from the faith does affect some things. And we need to reflect on that a bit. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, a very familiar verse, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." If we are saved through faith, and we can make shipwreck of the faith, that simply means that we can lose our salvation. But that's not true. We do not lose our salvation. And I want to reflect upon that a little bit this morning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul is writing to those at Thessalonica, and he says, "Day and or night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." I put that in there to say, if we're saved by faith, maybe there's something lacking in your faith, and it didn't take. But that's not the case. Let's continue. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith?" Here the apostles are out in the Sea of Galilee and they're being tossed about, and they can't calm the sea. And he says, "O ye of little faith." They didn't have enough faith. Same thing in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" This had to do with Peter as he was sinking in after he'd been walking on the water a ways. And the Lord rebuked him. He says, "O ye of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" It's interesting. If you're afraid, that can cause your faith, you to doubt your faith. Or have little faith. And if you doubt, that also is a sign of little faith. In Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, it says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. How many of you have mustard seed faith? How many of you can say to a sycamine tree, be cast into the sea? I know I can't. But you know what? That doesn't affect my salvation. And we don't test our faith. We're encouraged, and we'll get to it in a little bit. We're encouraged to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith or not. And this is not a proof of whether you're in the faith, of casting sycamine trees into the sea. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul is talking about those that did not hold faith and a good conscience in a very high esteem, or hold it very important. And they put away the faith, and they sunk. Whenever you have a shipwreck, the ship sinks. I was reading a book yesterday about ships on the Lake Superior. It's a very dangerous lake. And I think there's over 4,000 ships at the bottom of that lake that have sunk over the time that they've been recording them. But when we put away the faith, we make shipwreck. We sink. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 it says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Departing from the living faith, departing from faith is listening to something or someone other than the Word of God. Listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, we have the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer knew that if the prison doors were open, the prisoners would run. It was not a holiday to be in a Roman prison. And so when the earthquake happened, he knew that the doors were open, and he was afraid he would be crucified because he would lose his prisoners. He wasn't ready to die. And he asked Paul, what must he do to be saved? And Paul says in verse 31, and they said, that is Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Did Paul use the word faith in this verse? No. He used the word, actually the verb, believe. Faith is not a verb. People try to use the word faith as a verb. It's a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. And Paul did not use the word faith. He used the verb believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you make shipwreck of the verb believe? No. Can you depart from the verb believe? No. You either believe or you don't. It's just like pulling the trigger of a gun. You pull the trigger of the gun, can you unpull the trigger? No. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't undo that. When you know you're a sinner and you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you have believed that His finished work on the cross was done for you, you're in the family. There is no fear of shipwreck. There is no fear of departing from the faith. There is no fear of losing your salvation. So trying to apply faith to salvation creates confusion. And the Word of God is not a confusing book. I paraphrased Ephesians 2:8. so that you could get the gist of it. I'm going to read Ephesians 2:8 again in the King James, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." I paraphrase it to read, "For by grace through faith ye endure, having been saved. And that grace is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, where did I get the word endure? You don't see it in the King James Bible. But that word endure is translated from the word "are ye" in the in Ephesians 2:8, where it says, "For by grace are ye." That word "are ye," I'm going to have you just take your Bibles. I didn't put it in the notes, but I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4, I believe it is. It's either 4 or 7. Mark chapter 4 and verse 17. "And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time." You see the word "endure"? It's the same Greek word as "argi" in Ephesians 2:8. So I didn't just grab it out of the air. I've compared scripture with scripture and translation with translation. And it's by the grace of God that we endure what? Anything that comes down the pike. Any trouble, testing, trial. Now, the word "saved" in this passage in Ephesians 2:8 is in the perfect tense. What does that mean? I know that it has to do with grammar, but grammar is significant in the Word of God. And what that word "saved" is better translated, "having been saved." The perfect tense means that salvation began in the past, and what happened in the past continues in the present. That's the perfect tense. You got saved in the past. You need the grace of God to endure. And the way you get the grace of God is by faith. And if you make shipwreck of the faith, you may not get the grace. You follow what I'm talking about? If you depart from the faith, you may not get the grace you need to endure. Okay? So, and that grace is not of yourselves. In other words, you don't lather up grace. You go to the throne of grace. And you obtain mercy. And then, by faith, you access that grace for yourself. And it's the gift of God. And I included Ephesians 3:7, where it says, "The gift of the grace of God." Grace is a gift. And we can get it by faith. So I want to continue our thoughts upon what is faith then. How do we apply faith in our life? Let me back up one more time here. You get saved by the verb, and you live by faith. The just shall live by what?
Faith.
Amen. The just shall live by faith. What does it mean to be just? Yeah, Paul. Obedience. Amen. Obedience. Behaving yourself. A sinner can't live by faith. You can't be stealing and talk about your great faith. Can't do it. Faith is just not there. You live in sin, you're not living by faith. Faith's not part of your life. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." What does faith do for us? It gives substance to things that we're anticipating in the future. Faith also gives evidence. Evidence where? In your life. Because hope goes on in your heart. And evidence comes out of the heart. It's out of the heart that comes the issues of life. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, it says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we patiently wait for it." Hope is something, by the way, the word saved here has to do with deliverance. We don't get born again or saved like the Philippian jailer with hope. This word saved here has to do with deliverance. When you have hope, you can let things slide. You can let things go. Because you've got something better that's coming, okay? And if we see things, then it's no longer hope. For what you see, you don't have to hope for it. That's why it's so important to not ask the Lord to come and sit with you and have tea. In other words, not to come and sit down with you in the room with you. Because as soon as you see him, you know what happens? You no longer can live by faith. You can't live by faith. So, we hope for what we see not. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 gives us a little more information about faith. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," or better, by the word of Christ. The word of Christ has to do with the gospel of Christ. What this is talking about is not salvation verses. It's talking about the meat of the word and not the milk. Christ has to do with his coming kingdom and glory. Jesus Christ has to do with the cross. Jesus Christ who was crucified on the cross. And that's milk. But the word of Christ is the meat of the word, which helps us to discern between good and evil. So faith is bolstered when we talk about the coming kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ. That's our hope. We'll see that in just a moment. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That is, the word of the kingdom. "For it is the power of God unto salvation." And I believe this is the salvation of the soul, or the life in the coming kingdom. "Because this salvation is offered to everyone that believeth." You see the word believeth? It has a little E-T on the end of it. You know what that means? That word believeth is in the present tense. You know what it means to be in the present tense? It means it's the power of God unto those who are faithful in believing and hoping and serving. You graph the present tense of the verb with a line. You know what? How you graph the tense of the verb Paul used when he presented or told the Philippian jailer how to be saved? You know how you graph that, the aorist tense? You graph it with a dot, a period, a point. You don't have to believe in the present tense. So this is not talking about getting saved. This is talking about a salvation that is above and beyond being brought into the family. I don't have it in the verses that we have, but in Paul wrote Timothy, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the salvation in Christ. Let me give you that passage of scripture. It's in, I believe it's in 2 Timothy 2:10. Let me just make sure of myself on that. Right. Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory. When the Philippian jailer got saved, he was outside of Christ. And the Holy Spirit put him in Christ. When you get saved, you're put in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there is another salvation. And it talks about it in Hebrews 2. It's called the so great salvation. It's a salvation that has to do with the coming kingdom and glory. It has to do with the salvation of our lives in that coming kingdom. So, when he talks about in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that's the meat of the word, for it is the power of God unto salvation, that is, of the soul, to everyone that believeth, present tense, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, which is by faith, revealed. Where is the righteousness of God revealed? It's in the gospel of Christ. That's where the salvation or the righteousness which is of God by faith is revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the gospel of Christ is not simply the plan of salvation. It's not milk. It's meat. It is offered to those who will be faithful to Him. That's the word, reason why the present tense of the verb believe is in that verse. It's actually a present active participle. Now, and that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why I emphasize the gospel of Christ from this pulpit, to bolster your faith, to give you something to hope for, to make it real to you that one day we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and the faithful will rule and reign, and the unfaithful will not. Period. That's just as simple as I can put it. If you're saved and you're faithful and you live by faith, you're going to be pleasing God and you're going to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. But if you're saved and you don't and you're not faithful to the Lord, you're not. You're going to be a servant in the kingdom. And that's for 1,000 years. Okay? Now, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What is faith for? To please Him. You want to please God? Live by faith. And hopefully I'll help you to see how to do that in just as we continue. First of all, one thing that will help you is diligence on your part in seeking Him. I had someone call me this morning, long distance, and in fact, I got two. I got some email, and I got a telephone call, and both are struggling in their prayer life, in their Bible reading. They're struggling. And I said, you know, I tried my best. I haven't emailed this friend yet, but the one I was talking on the phone, I said, faith, or you just need to be in your word, in the Word of God, and in prayer. If you're not, you're not going to make it. I always like Luke 18:1, where it says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We don't always get what we pray for, but one thing for sure that prayer will help you to do, and that is not to faint. If you don't get a thing out of your prayer life that you ask for, the one thing that you need more than anything you could ask for is not to faint, not to quit. If you're praying, you have hope. If you're praying, you're not going to quit. The devil knows how to get you to fall, to make shipwreck, and that is to cut off the Word of God out of your life and to cut your prayer life. Just cut it out. I haven't got time to pray. Let me tell you, friend, you don't have time not to pray. You don't have time not to read your Bible. May the Lord help us to do that. So the purpose of faith is to please Him. And one way we know that we're pleasing Him is when we diligently seek Him. That's at Easter and Christmas every year, right? That's not the diligence that He's talking about here. It's daily. It may be moment by moment. And so the Lord help us with that. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, there's something very interesting here. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Here Paul says, we have believed. This is the same verb and the same tense that Paul used at the Philippian jailer. Believe. Dot. After salvation, Paul says, that we might be justified by faith. Your salvation does not guarantee your justification. Because the reason why is because you can make shipwreck of the faith. What is justification? Justification has to do with charging, being charged. When I drive down the street at 30 miles an hour and the sign is posted 30 miles an hour, I'm not under the law. I drive down the street at 35 miles an hour, I'm no longer just. I am chargeable. When we live in sin, we will not stand justified in His presence. Unless we confess those sins and forsake them. Now, I don't suggest you do this, but this is the same thing as if you drive down the street at 35 miles an hour and you break the law, and you go down here to Central and you turn left and you go down about 3 blocks where the police station is and you pull in and you tell them down there, I'm sorry, I was driving 35 in a 30 mile zone, write me a ticket. Well, the Lord doesn't do that, doesn't work that way. He lets you judge yourself and forsake it. And He writes it off. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, I like that. So, just being saved does not guarantee a clean slate being justified. Hebrews 11:1, backing up again to Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Here we find a living hope. And it says He hath begotten us again to this living hope. You know what that means? It means that He had begotten us before. You can't begot us again until you have begotten us before. When he begot us before, he put us in the family. And then he shared with us some things about a hope of our inheritance, and he gave us a high priest so we can get it. It's the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ that is making it possible for us to have those good things that are coming. And by the way, the word inheritance is not salvation. Inheritance is a family matter. You got to be in the family to get an inheritance, usually. Sometimes you can fake it out and do something to somebody. I think of Howard Hughes, in other words, everybody trying to get a piece of his pie. But anyway, inheritance is a family matter in the Bible. It's not a salvation matter. And that is undefiled, and it doesn't fade away. Why? Because faith is working. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. If you make shipwreck of the faith, then your inheritance is defiled. And it fades away. And it's canceled. You understand what I'm saying in verse 4. It's the faith, it's the power of God through faith that reserves all of these, or preserves our inheritance through faith. Unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. What salvation was going to be revealed in the last times? This is not getting saved, because Adam was saved. Eve was saved. This is talking about a salvation that wasn't known before. This is what this is talking about. This is a salvation that had been hidden until the Lord began to talk about it. And we'll see about that in just a moment. First Peter 1, 8 and 9. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. That's in the present tense. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, the salvation of your life. What salvation is that? That has to do with the kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ, not getting saved, not getting born from above. That's what this salvation is dealing with. We also, faith puts substance to the hope of righteousness in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What is the hope of righteousness? The hope of righteousness is to stand in His presence unchargeable. And if we have a hope of righteousness, we will behave ourselves and conduct our affairs before Him so that we will not be chargeable before Him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Faith gives substance to the hope of glory. In whom, that is, the saints, this is in verse 26, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of what glory? The hope of the glory of the coming kingdom. He has called us unto His kingdom and what? Glory. So what does faith give substance to? It gives substance to the glory that will be found in the kingdom of the heavens. In fact, this is interesting. Ephesians 3:17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. But you know what it says in Galatians? Paul says to the Galatian church, he says, I travail in birth till Christ be formed in you again. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. When we're living by faith, Christ indwells us. Not Him personally, but the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. The reason why Jesus Christ can't dwell in me right now is, you know where He is? He is in His body of flesh and bones, sitting next at the right hand of whom? His Father, right, absolutely. So Jesus is not dwelling in me by faith. His attitude, His spirit, His purpose dwells in me by faith. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. That's what dwells in me as Christ dwelling in is in me by faith. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, it tells us that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of, it says eternal life in the King James, but this word eternal is an adjective, and it comes from the word age. And the best way to make a noun, which the word age is, an adjective, is to translate it age-lasting life. Well, what age are we talking about here? We're talking about the millennial age, because that's a hope. When I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm born into the family of God. That's no hope. That's a sure thing. You know why it's a sure thing? Because the Bible says, if I believe, I'm saved. That's a sure thing. But life for the age is not a sure thing, because that is based upon our performance. And by the way, in Hebrews 11:1, it says faith also provides us with evidence of things not seen. What are some of the things? What is the evidence of things not seen? Well, first of all, seeking diligently. That's an evidence that you're living by faith when you're seeking diligently God the Father. James tells us in 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You know what evidence is? Working. Serving. That's evidence of faith. Working. Serving the Lord. Serving other people. I can't show you faith, but I can show you evidence of it. I can't prove light, but I can show you the evidence of it. You know how? I flip the switch and it comes on. That's evidence. Philippians 2, verses 13 through 14. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know what the evidence is? You're not complaining. No murmuring, no disputing. This is talking about the children of Israel, basically speaking, in the wilderness. What did they complain about? Moses, we just hate this light bread. Give us something to eat other than manna. We hate the Bible. And God gave them quail, and you know what happened? Manna had a bad case of, I don't know what you would call the disease. Let's see, what is that disease we were talking about? You get from eating raw eggs. Salmonella, yeah, that's the worst case, the worst outbreak of salmonella in the world. While they were eating that quail, it was coming out their nose. I tell you, when you're that sick, you are sick. Anyway, evidence of the faith is no murmuring, no complaining. It's just that you're just simply willing to do it, and you keep on doing it. You're doing it, and you're willing to keep on. And you're not resisting what God's doing in your life. Another thing, too, is contentment. Living by faith is contentment. Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain in 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 16:6-10. For the love of money, which some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Pursuing money and security that money provides is not an evidence of faith. Being content with what you have and let God give you what you need are two evidences of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. These are all evidences of faith. Are you steadfast? Can the Lord count on you? Are you unmovable? Are you just tossing to and fro by every wind of doctrine? Can't make up your mind here or there. Oh, I'll go this Sunday. I won't go that Sunday. Or I'll do, on and on. I know that there are times when you can't come, and I understand that. I'm not here trying to make you feel guilty because of me. But the main thing is this: steady, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. That's hope. It's not in vain. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If you start living by faith and you draw back, the Lord is not going to be happy with you. And that's what happened to Israel. When they drew back, the Lord said, you can't go into the land flowing with milk and honey. You've got to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years till you kick the bucket. Man, what a drag. When they could have been in a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, what we will sacrifice on the altar of the immediate when we want something now. We're not satisfied. The just here, of course, has to do with obedience. And then I want to close with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. How can you examine yourself? I think we go over those evidences of the faith, contentment, satisfaction, steadfastness. We can do a little test. Can I be counted on? We need to examine ourselves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? If he is in me, what is he doing? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is God that's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Are you letting him do that? Except you be reprobates. This word reprobate is an English word that is very foreboding. It really means disapproved. It's before approval. If you don't examine yourself occasionally, that you're whether or not you're living for the Lord and trusting him, you could be disapproved. James tells us in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. You want the crown of life? I want a crown. I want to rule and reign with him. I want to be approved. If I don't examine myself occasionally, I might err from the truth. I might err from the faith. And then I'm the loser. We're not saved by faith. We live by faith. You're saved by the verb believe. and you live by the noun faith. Believe does not give you any substance. Believe doesn't give you any evidence. You just know you're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you believe it, and you're in the family. And then you need to start living by faith. And if you don't, you're the loser. May the Lord help us to not be like the children of Israel and quit right at the door. Father, we just pray that you'd bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be just, to be obedient, and to live by faith, that we might please you, and that we might hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into your joy, and rule over many things, having been faithful over a few things. Bless the message to each of our hearts, and may we be encouraged to be faithful to you today and each day of the rest of our lives. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.